Welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kanji, and I'm the author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, How to Harness Your Gifts, Fulfill Your Purpose, and Create a Life of Joy. And here in Light Warrior Radio, we really, really want to share the amazing, let's just say, message that you can heal yourself on many, many levels. And one of my favorite topics to talk about, believe it or not, is water. But before we get into that, in case you're brand new to my channel, would love to for you to hit the subscribe button. And you can actually even join our community at karenkan.com/community. We have monthly mini healings and all sorts of events, and you get holistic health, wellness tips, and a lot of spiritual stuff too, because every week we do a spiritual medicine digest. And if you are a highly sensitive soul, then you can also get my sensitive soul guide, which is at sensitivesoulguide.com, three ways of navigating your way to more peace, positivity, and personal power. And today I'm super excited. Like I said, we're talking about water, and with me today is Michael Hobson. And we are going to be talking about water, water memory, frequencies, some of my favorite things to talk about in the whole entire world. So I'm super excited for the podcast today. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Michael. So Aquine Springs founder, he is the founder of that company, and he spent his whole life studying frequencies, first as a mathematician. I shouldn't tell him I hated math in school. But anyway, then as an, oh boy, am I going to butcher this? Econometrics professor. You'll have to tell us what that is, Michael. Corporate business consultant through several businesses in the music industry at the forefront of both vinyl movement and the live recording industries. Wow. That's like lots and lots of, experience, Michael. His interest in frequencies eventually brought him to water. So he became fascinated with water, started a decade plus long deep dive into understanding it all and all of its capabilities. After years of studying water, water structure, and water frequencies, deepening his understanding of this underappreciated molecule that appears to be the foundation of all life on Earth, Michael heard about special water that came from a source in a remote part of Idaho. I've never been to Idaho. Through a series of coincidences, he found his way to the spring where pristine water that tastes like no other finds its way to the Earth's surface at 139 degrees Fahrenheit and naturally comes out of the ground at 80 gallons a minute. Wow. It was here in the special place known for centuries to Native Americans as Crystal Spring that it became clear to Michael that he would have a role in helping to bring this water to the public. Michael sees frequencies as a way for humanity to connect, communicate, and heal, and knows water plays an important role in life, longevity, health, and personal growth. He built Aquine Springs with the intention of shepherding this source water to the world and protecting the untouched nature that surrounds the spring from which it comes. Michael, thanks for being here. I'm so excited that you're here on the show.
Oh my goodness. After that intro, I've got a lot to live up to, I guess. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, same here, same here. Well, like I said, water is one of my favorite things to talk about. And a lot of times I get direct information from source, but it's so wonderful to meet experts like you who have had this very, very long study of water. And I'm learning new things every day. So let's back up and maybe you can share with our listeners, first of all, your website, and second of all, how did you kind of go down that road of studying water, given all this background that you had before?
Right. Well, I've been asked that a number of times before, and my current understanding of how it all happened was that as I look back, I was really guided along this path. It didn't at any particular time, looking backwards or forwards, didn't really make a lot of sense. But I think after some period of time, looking back and recognizing that what I was really being trained to understand is that everything vibrates and that mathematics is a way to characterize those vibrations. Econometrics was all about prediction. And then my foray into a number of music-related businesses are about what we call music, or really vibratory patterns, right? And the impact of all of that on water is, as you sort of alluded to earlier, that water has this amazing capacity to store and transmit that information, that vibratory information. And that's the way we work, actually, is because of the water in our bodies. Without it, there would be no life.
Wow. Yeah, that it is so true. The more I learn about water, the more fascinated about water I am, and the more curious I am. Now, your website, I just want to share that. It's aquenesprings.com. So AQUENE springs.com, all one word. And you're also on Instagram and Facebook at Aquene Springs. So that's perfect. So let's talk about water and memory. So you talk about frequencies. When you were talking, I was thinking, well, seeing in my mind those cymatics videos where they play a
Absolutely.
tone and then the water has this beautiful sacred geometry. And I know you've met a lot of people in this, industry or specialty. So tell us more about frequency and water.
Yeah. So, again, and I know some of your guests previously have probably made this comment that according to Nikola Tesla, that if you wanted to understand the universe, think in terms of energy. Vibration and or energy frequency and vibration, right? But really, people talk a lot about frequencies, but let's never forget, and I really want to punctuate this, that it's vibratory in nature. It's motion. Everything is vibrating, including water, right? And so the idea that when water encounters something, either by juxtaposition, or by actual contact, that the pattern that is created by whatever is creating that pattern, be it a crystal, be it a petal from a plant or a flower, or our finger, all of that imparts a pattern into water that is permanent until it's erased. And there are ways to erase water. That part of the problem that we have right now is that we can encode water, but it's not so easy to decode, right? So we're in the stages of being being unfolded, I think, in humanity, of being able to understand and appreciate the central role that water has in storing information, and then for us to be able to retrieve that information. So there's all sorts of opportunities for us to use that for actual digital storage, believe it
Yes,
or
I heard. Yeah, like instead of using like a silicone chip or whatever they use now, that somehow water has much, much more informational
capacity,
storage
potentially.
capacity.
And
Yeah.
I believe that's probably where this ends up. And you know, I like to think of the human body as, you know, a perfect machine. In fact, that's what Tesla said, was that the human body was God's perfect machine. And actually, now that we know more, we recognize that the body is electrical in nature and that it's a semiconductor, right? And we'll talk a little
Right.
bit later about silica and the importance of silica in the body, and that Aquene Springs water is silica rich. And how that affects our ability of to communicate with each other and within our body, the cells and tissues to pass information and to stay in a state of ease. Silica is a critical component of that.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's funny because oh, I'm gonna go way out right now. So one of my colleagues and mentors who channels an off-world being and having had this being answer questions. We're really carbon-based here, and I guess the evolved human and or if you say some of these other worlds that they're actually more silicon-based. Which is very fascinating to me. Yeah, it's really fascinating to me.
But I mean, it's not completely well understood. There are some theories out there about how exactly water does it. There's a theory that was developed by some Italian physicists, Emilio del Giudice, and people can go and take a look around on YouTube. There's some stuff around, or you can Google his name. He put forth with colleagues the idea of coherent domains that water molecules form together into different geometric shapes that are able to store vibratory patterns. So think of it a little bit like if people understand what standing waves are, which are kind of related to echoes. If you've ever been in a room and the sound bounces around or it's really lively, those are what are called standing waves because they just bounce around. That vibratory energy in the air persists as a result of that bouncing around. So you can sort of think about the idea of having water clusters in a particular geometric form that can store information or a stable pattern that persists.
Yeah, it's almost like seeing water like a gem.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
a multifaceted sacred geometric gem. And we think of gems as, you know, being like a 3D crystal, but it feels like water is a multidimensional crystal, not 3D. Any thoughts on that awareness?
Well, my current thinking is that everything is water, right? That everything comes out of water and ultimately everything goes back into water. And that if you want to think about the universe or the creator or source, that's one of the tools that is used to create our reality. And that's the interaction between what we call water and fire, right?
Yeah,
Which
yeah.
is in this realm, you can look at as electricity or magnetism, which are closely related. And so I think, is the way that things work with regard to water and its central importance.
Are you familiar with Marie Rainey Hilly's book, The Water Code?
Of course,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that it was very interesting there. I think it's one of those books that I need to read multiple times to really get it, like deeply, about how water is more dimensional than it is physical. And is that in your mind, is that related to it's like the power of water to make a difference in our lives
Yeah, I
potentially?
mean, it certainly could be. That whole notion that in every moment that we're recreating ourselves with light so that we go out of existence and come back into existence, I think falls into that category. So certainly, if we are water dancing to the tune of light, that could make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Now I know some people are very into like putting a positive word, you know, next to water. You talked about encoding water, but we haven't gotten good at decoding water yet. Like, what is the memory of this water, right? Until we drink it, or even then, we don't really know what people put in it. Can you tell us more about that process, how that all plays out?
Yeah, so I think most of your listeners, and certainly you, are aware of, the work of Masaru Emoto, right? Where he was famous for putting the word love on the side of a glass, or hate, or a heart, and actually speaking to the water, praising it, telling him how much he loved it, that he was happy with it, and then sometimes shunning it, like putting it into a dark place and so forth, and then taking drops of that water and 50 of them generally, and freezing them at minus 20 degrees C, and then in 5 degrees C laboratory, they would take pictures of these frozen water drops in a very specific way. And that is, they would turn the light of the microscope on. And as a result of that light, the crystalline water drop would start to melt. And as it started to melt, they would start taking pictures. And they would find not 2D, but 3D crystalline structures that would come out that were obviously different based on what it was that quote was encoded. And there was the tendency for beautiful words and thoughtful ideas to have a beautiful crystalline shape, hexagonal in nature, six-sided, and then, water from different places that either had been encoded with, heavy metal music or something that had more of a chaotic nature to it would come out and give you that visual impression of something that wasn't as orderly or had some chaotic nature to it as well. And so, I think that is whether it's stored in these coherent domains, because remember, and that's why I was really, really careful about pointing this out at the beginning, everything vibrates. We think of ourselves becoming still when we meditate and do other activities, but we're not. Everything's vibrating at all times, right? And so you can imagine actually that when you write something on a piece of paper, that that pattern is vibrating, right? Not just the paper, but the pattern on the paper. So then you can start to think about, okay, now I can see how the water could absorb that. And then the question is, so it can absorb that word, but it's not playing back the word to you. It's giving you a picture or an image of its interpretation. So now we're down that beautiful pathway of, is water sentient? That is, does it have some level of consciousness? And for me personally, I believe it does. And in fact, if what I said before, that everything's water and that that's the creator's way of creating this reality, then of course water has consciousness. In fact, some of the great researchers of the last century, one of which, Victor Schauberger, talked about everything, every item, every a stone, everything has a level of consciousness. And I think that is related to the notion of its pattern in which it vibrates. So at that base level, and through, if you subscribe to the idea, which I'll just go on record as saying that I do, of us being a vessel through which our consciousness, which is driven by the creator, is expressed, and that we can use our senses to be able to have those experiences here on Earth and maybe in space as well. That when you think of it that way, then of course water has to have a role in consciousness. So that's at least a way to think about, to square, how it is that water communicates back in its own way. And you mentioned somebody before we went live here that I know personally, and I saw a couple of weeks ago at a hydration summit down in San Diego. Her name is Veda Austin, and she's taken the Emoto work in a slightly different direction, but one where she has a conversation and has asks questions and then receives answers in the form of what she calls pictographs. And it is really, really fascinating, her ability on that level. And so I also mentioned to you someone called Bernd Kroplin, and people can go on YouTube and take a look at some of his work. He was an aeronautical engineer at the University of Stuttgart. So a guy that looks at structures of airplanes, right? Got interested in water and started doing things like putting petals from flowers into water and then dehydrating it on a slide, taking 50 drops, kind of in the spirit of Emoto, but instead of freezing, he would dry them or dehydrate them and then look at them under a dark field microscope. And the results are fascinating. You can tell the difference in the water's expression of different flowers. done in this method that I just described. It is absolutely fascinating. And moreover, that by holding water, even just having a syringe that you've taken from a water source, that the person who's holding it has an impact on what the water expresses. So if you take, and he did this, a dozen students, right, who are great guinea pigs, and puts them in the same room. They all have this one water source. They have a syringe, a little syringe, and they take their syringe. They're all sitting in the same room, say 6 feet apart, and they do this thing I just described, where you put these 50 dots on this slide, and then you sit there actually until they dehydrate,
Oh.
and then you look at them under the dark field microscope, and what you find is that each individual person has a pattern that the water expresses. And it's similar across the 50 drops that they were involved in, but that the person next to them, or up ahead, has a very different outcome, of which is similar within its 50 drops, right? And so there's this so-called experimenter involvement in the activity, right? And so at the end of the day, this comes down to, I think, that our thoughts are what is the most important thing in this reality, and that they affect everything around us. Because if we are electrical or electromagnetic, and our thoughts are electrical, then we radiate a pattern of our thoughts. And by the way, our voice is exactly a vibratory representation of our thoughts, right? And that can be held by water as well. You can program water by speaking to it. And of course,
Right.
Native Americans, and probably a lot of the ancient civilizations, I think, were well aware of this. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting. You were talking earlier about even though when we're sitting still or in meditation, we're actually not still, we're vibrating. I was never a great student of meditation. I like to move around a lot. Very busy, 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 busy mind. So I always felt in the past that I was just a failure at meditation. And then I learned from Frank Kinslow his two finger method of the instant healing, if you will, the Kinslow system. And I thought, wow, when I do that system, I can feel a lot of movement in my body because I'm paying attention to the fingers. And then I just kind of shortened it and forgot the fingers part and just focused inwards and could feel like right now I'm talking with you and I could actually feel like this in my body everywhere, and it's different qualities. If I focus on, for example, one exercise we were doing the other day was focusing on the water, very, very close to the surface of the skin. So skin and then, subdermal and then fascial. And feeling into that water versus say water deep inside the organs. So it's fascinating how the vibration is there all the time if you pay attention to it. And for me, that is my stillness on the fly, if you will, is that method of actually paying attention to the vibration. And so, when you were talking about thoughts, I was gonna say state of being actually. Which of course there's an interplay, between that because sometimes a lot of thoughts come up spontaneously. We do not consciously think our thoughts like necessarily. Like sometimes I will, I'll be like, okay, now I have to plan this vacation trip, right? That's conscious. But the other times they're just thoughts that pop up that I'm not consciously thinking of. And so I think there's that interplay of what comes first, chicken or the egg, but I feel it's the state of being that we're vibrating at that's going to affect water the most, not necessarily, maybe patterns of thought, but not necessarily just thought. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think you've gotten you've clarified things in a way that is along with my thinking. And that is, when if one accepts the fact that our thoughts or our consciousness, right, can affect our body. And this is that issue of, which is controversial, that we make ourselves sick, right? And that it's actually not necessarily that the outside world's attacking us, but that the attack comes from within, right? And so, I subscribe to that belief. And if that's the case, then it means that our thought patterns, and we have control over those, right? Sometimes they come in, like, I have negative thoughts too, believe it or not. And I try not to. And when they come in, sometimes I just observe them, and or sometimes I have a conversation with them. Sometimes I tell them to go away, right? And insofar as we can take active control over, who it is that we want to be, and we can have those patterns, which of course, as people, talk about, and I think they're absolutely right about it, it's really centered around love and gratitude, right? And in that order, I think. And so, when we have those types of thoughts, to your point, and I do something called yoga nidra, by the way, because I'm sort of like you. I've tried meditation, and I can be somewhat successful, but not like, the guys in the caves, right? They're really good, right? And they can do a lot just with their thoughts, but it takes them quite a while, and they have to practice every day for
25 years.
their whole life, right? And but I do yoga nidra, and that's, a kind of a guided meditation where you become aware of different parts of your body, to your point. And I'm at a point where I can stop pain in my own body by the process of first becoming aware, and then having the intention to have that pain stop. And for me, anyway, it comes down to really having faith in yourself, right? That you have that ability to do that, and to suspend that disbelief of, oh, I don't really have any control over my body. Turns out, there's a lot of interaction between, and I'm sure you know this, between the heart and the brain. Actually, more communication from the heart to the brain,
That's right.
vice versa, right?
I
And
love
so,
that.
and by the way, that communication is electromagnetic waves, right? And our heart also creates the largest magnetic field in the body, right? And what happens with water is that it can be affected, and the memory of water is affected by electromagnetic fields. And for those people who doubt that, go to my favorite place, YouTube. And when I say my favorite place, because you can pretty much find anything there, including how to fix your car or your toaster. But you can find work by a guy called Jacques Benveniste. And he was an immunologist, a French immunologist. He passed in 2004, but in the 1980s, he did some seminal work that's related to homeopathy. He realized that you could take a drug, and you could put a little bit in, and then dilute that with water, and then shake it, which is called succussion. And then you what's called serial dilution. So you take one part from that first dilution, and you put it to nine parts, and then you keep doing that succussion thing. And by the 14th round of that, there are no molecules of the original substance in the water, but the water from those extremely diluted solutions had the same impact on a guinea pig heart that the actual drug did. It elicited the same response. So it's like, oh, okay. So water has the ability to hold on to this pattern that was created by the whatever it is that it came in contact with. And so, that opens up us to, a real understanding of the power that we have with our own consciousness. If we just accept that that's the case, and of course, I'll just stand on the soapbox for a second and say that the thing that I've learned is that it's time for us as individuals to take back the responsibility for our own health and well-being. And that's not to say that, we shouldn't help get the help of others, including doctors, but that instead of abdicating all of that to others, that we really need to take control of that, and we really need to think hard about how to keep ourselves healthy.
Yes. Well, let's talk about, that whole water memory thing. Because one of the questions that comes up is that, okay, so we can program from Emoto's work and others, we can program water with some positive, so-called positive frequencies of love and gratitude, right?
Yes.
So, and this is relevant too in terms of if people say, wow, I really love the water from this Idaho spring, Michael, and I'm going to ship it to me. So the question is going to be, well, what about the guy that handles the water? What about the guy, the truck, the trucker that delivers it? What if that trucker's in a really bad mood, it's going through a
Yes.
horrible, horrible divorce? Like, isn't that
Yes.
going to affect the structure of my water and so on and so forth?
Yes. In fact, that is an, I love that you brought this up. I'll refer back to Bernd Kroplin, and actually, there's an Emoto story that I can share as well, where Kroplin had a guy in the lab, right, that did all these preparations. And what they do, they've got this kind of baseline water, right? And the guy would, at the beginning of the day, he would take, a syringe of the water, do the 50 drops, and you'd get these patterns. So you could call it the pattern of the day, right? Which would be reflective of, the situation in the room, the alignment of the planets, how warm it is outside, just everything, right, mattered. And during this particular day, someone came into the lab and delivered some bad news to the guy, this researcher. And he was doing these drops and dehydrations and so forth. And he went to Kroplin and he said, "It's gone. It's gone. I've lost it. I can't do this anymore. Look at what's going on here." It was this the pattern that he was seeing was really chaotic. And what they realized was that during the day, someone had delivered a story to him about what had happened to them or one of their relatives or whatever, and it affected the guy, like his emotions, like he was really upset. And that got reflected in the experiments, right? And so we can even talk about things like the placebo effect. Like if you think that you're getting something that's going to help you, there's a really good likelihood that it will, right? So that power of thought, because remember, again, if I've set the stage here for if, and we know this, if we can tell when someone walks into the room that's in an excited state. Now, we don't have to look at them. Looking at them helps, but you can feel it, right? There's a radiation pattern that comes out of us. And guess what? As you know, and all your listeners do, we're 99.9% water molecularly, and about 70, 75%, water by volume. So in a way, one of the funny things I like to say is right now that I'm water speaking to water.
Water's having a conversation with another
Right.
water. So people said, well, why is it that I'll give you an example. Like, why is it that if I charge my water with some sort of instrument, whether it be Ascension 3 jewelry or Peter Shank's, Aquaware or something like
Yes.
that, and we have these beautiful patterns, how do I know I'm not gonna like kill it with one negative thought? Or that, if somebody in my household who I don't have control over is watching, I don't know, a murder mystery or something like that.
Right.
How do I know that the water's not going to get destroyed before I drink it?
Well, so again, I think at the highest level, water is absorbing everything from its environment, right? And so, when I speak to water, for example, I hold it because I'm also now in contact with it. And our hands are, as we know, a very important tool in healing. Like most all healers use their hands with good reason. And, I have a thought pattern, and of course it's in close proximity to me. So at least I like to think that, I have the water's attention and that it's very proximal to me, right? So the noise, if you will, is somewhat subjugated to my thought. It's like I've got the attention of the water, and I'm putting my intention into water. And I think that is an overriding factor. But back to your point about, I think everything does matter. So, the water at it from a Queen Springs comes out of the side of the mountain, and it's never sees the atmosphere until it gets packaged. And we're very careful about the people that work in the facility in terms of packaging and so forth. And frankly, my son's the guy that ships things, and he's just one of the sweetest people that you can imagine. So he's probably the person that you really want to package your water and send it. And I don't know if the UPS driver's upset if that has an impact. It probably does on some level, but we just continue to do the best we can and set that intention inside of ourselves. And water becomes, to me, a facilitator of that. It's like I can supercharge myself. First and foremost is to have beautiful thoughts, to have beautiful, loving thoughts of yourself. And I'm not saying anything that, all the self-help people for all time and have written hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of books about this, right? That's what it all comes down to. And so to supplement that, if you will, speak to your water, right?
It's very interesting about this whole I like what you said about the attention and intention, because that is actually what I was also told by a source in terms of the water infusion or charging or whatever, is that is pay attention to your water and then infuse your intention in there.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing that because you talked about the proximity, right? Here's the thing is like we do also know that the distance is and the quantum is irrelevant.
Right.
So theoretically, I could with for example, like my friend Holly Hallowell, she could show me a picture of a picture of her water,
Yes.
right? And I can infuse that, even though
Yes.
she lives in Florida and I live in New York.
Correct.
It's not, it's just a picture, it's just a representation of it. But water is dimensional, so it's able to receive that information, which I think is fascinating. Just fascinating.
Yeah, that's the basis, the same basis as remote healing, which is
Right.
another controversial subject. But I do agree with that statement that you posited, that we all are connected. Everything is connected to everything else. And the way I sort of think about it, if people want to visualize this, imagine there being a fabric that it's through us all. And so we don't see it. And of course, that's one of the problems that science has, is that if it can't see it, it doesn't exist, right? And so, but imagine this kind of elastic fabric, if you will, that when I move this way, it moves you a little bit too,
Yeah,
right?
kind of like the butterfly effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really what's at work on a three-dimensional level, that everything affects everything else, right? And so that is one of the ways that you can conceptualize this activity that you talk about. I know of people who can take a picture, and I'm sure you do as well, and that they can remote heal by using usually their left hand on that picture, and in their own way, and there are many, I think, can send, in most cases, I think it's divine love to that remote location through this mechanism that I just described, and that the receiver can receive that. And that's a beautiful choice that we can make to help each other, right? Is just to have a beautiful thought about somebody. And I often barefoot hike.
Oh,
And
so does my husband. He's very
yeah,
jealous.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And while I'm out there, I do these things called decrees, which are kind of like a prayer, blessing, command,
Yeah, more
wish.
similar to Tepecan healing than the actual prayer that most people,
Right.
say.
But I do a technique that it includes something that Marcel Vogel, and I'll talk about Vogel in a minute, instituted. He used to program crystals, right? So-called Vogel crystals that can also hold intention and can then be used to program water, right? And he showed that, and he was an IBM scientist. I'll get into that in a minute. But apparently, the idea is that when you have a thought, you take a deep breath, and then you hold that thought, and then you put that thought in your heart, and then you pulse your breath, like almost like you're blowing your nose, and that pulse is what sends that message, if you will, out into the universe, right?
Oh, you're not focusing on water specifically in that
No,
case.
you can. You could do that. There's no rules here, right? You can make the rules up because it was given to us as a mechanism by which we can share.
Is that like breath of fire?
Yeah, absolutely. Falls into that same category. So, you can program water actually just with your thoughts. You really don't have to speak to it. I think it's kind of an added bonus to be able to speak to it and so forth. But yeah, it's definitely a means of communication.
I think maybe the hands-on healing, the water may be the conduit of the
For sure.
actual hands-on healing. And even when we were talking about remote healing, one of the things in my Sensitivities or Superpower book is called Healing by Proxy Prop. And this is something that I figured out a while back because people are like, well, I'm not a professional healer. I'm not licensed to touch people. Like, how do I heal my son who's, miles away, state,
Right.
so that it's like out of necessity, I was like, okay, well, what if you had a doll and that doll was the other person? They get permission. So then you can use your hands within that intention and attention, and you feel the energy of what's going on in the doll, and you might feel a blockage, and you might
Absolutely.
intuitively just do this, or whatever. And beginners are just like, wow, this is really weird, but they start doing it and they get into it, and we do it in partnership, and they have like they're thinking, like, their mind is like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never done hands-on healing before, right? But then when they get the feedback from the other person, they are just blown away the difference what that person could feel as they were working on them through the doll. So that's that whole remote healing. And so I think water is kind of like the dimensional interface, if you will, possibly between all that messaging, attention, and intention.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And in fact, another thing for your listeners to keep in mind is that there's water everywhere, right? Even in the desert, there's 5% water. It's not as humid as it is, in upstate New York in the summer. But nonetheless, there's water present. And a lot of the Native Americans, and I think some of the great civilizations, had the idea that when you speak to the water, that in fact, it then at some point evaporates, and that evaporated water makes its way around the world. And so, in a way, water is kind of the keeper of all information. And it just circulates all around the world. And that's a kind of a great thing to think about, that if I have wonderful thoughts and I talk to the water and the water evaporates from me and it's got this beautiful pattern in it, that pattern is going somewhere else. And that is going to be felt by somewhere else, somebody else, or a tree or a plant or whatever. And that I'm going to have a more long-lasting impact on the world.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'm just going to share your website again for everyone listening in. It's aquenesprings.com, AQUENE springs.com, all one word. And one of the things, Michael, I'm sure people will ask is why this water? You got really interested, you found it, you shared it. Why are you so passionate about sharing this water?
Well, so I think of it as myself being a water shepherd. And I believe that, in fact, I'm sure of it, that I was guided to the water. So it found me. I didn't really find it. And I think there's a few things that are special about it. One is that it's untouched. It comes from a remote area of Idaho in the high desert that is very far from any sort of agriculture, which Idaho's famous for, potatoes and otherwise. But we all know that modern agriculture involves, at best, fertilizers, at worst, a lot of toxic chemicals, including glyphosate.
Yes.
And let me take just a second to continue. And I appreciate you bringing the focus to the water, but when I talked about the idea that water can hold the pattern of an element, let's say, or a thought, glyphosate we think of as a chemical. And, in our physical world, it is. However, it has a pattern that it vibrates at. And as I talked about before in the Benveniste example, and also people can look on into Luc Montagnier, who was the Nobel
Yes.
Prize winner for the discovery of the HIV virus. He took up Benveniste's work and had some phenomenal findings with regard to water and its ability to reconstitute DNA from a pattern
I love that study.
that was diluted into water. So when you think about this, the idea that if glyphosate even came in contact with water or was close by, that the water not only would have the glyphosate in it, but it would also have the pattern of the glyphosate in it. And so I don't want to alarm people, but unfortunately, municipal water that has been purified, quote unquote, and so that the molecule's not there, well, we know that that's not enough. We know that.
Homeopathic
Exactly.
glyphosate homeopathy.
Yeah. But that the pattern of that molecule is there, and its adverse effect on our harmonious nature is still intact. So we can still be affected by that situation. So back to the spring, because of its locale, and it's not close to glyphosate or anything else toxic, that it comes out in a state where it's unadulterated, if you will. Further, because it comes from a hot spring, there's something people may not be aware of, and that is that water is made in the Earth's crust, that it's not just water from what we call the hydrologic cycle, which is the evaporation from the oceans and then rains down and fills up aquifers. There's actually another mechanism, a redundant mechanism at work in nature. And that is, and people can look this up, the number one element from the periodic table in the Earth's crust is oxygen, followed by silica, followed by aluminum. And so you've got a lot of oxygen in the Earth's crust, and you have other things like gold, but you also have hydrocarbons, which we commonly use in our vehicles, right? We pump them out. We know all about that, fracking and so on. But in geothermic areas, these hydrocarbons become dissociated, which means they break apart, right? And that's how we break apart molecules, is we put heat to them, right? And so hydrogen gets dissociated from carbon. So hydrocarbon becomes its constituent parts. And hydrogen is one of those molecules, right? It's an element, but it likes to travel as H2, so two hydrogen atoms. It doesn't like to be on its own. I call it a lonely bachelor. And so it tries to find a partner. And what does it find? Oxygen in the presence of heat and makes steam. So
Okay.
imagine that. It's something called primary water. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the water that comes out for Aquin Springs is primary water. So it's purity at a level most people hadn't thought about. And so it goes along this path as steam, collecting trace minerals, most importantly, silica. And then, of course, we box it and bottle it and so forth. So I also want to just let people know that as above, so below, it turns out that we make water in our bodies as well. So there's something called the electron transfer mechanism, which was propagated by a guy called Albert St. Georgi that won the Nobel Prize in 1937. People can go and have a look at that as well. This is well known in biology, and it's where we take carbohydrates and fats as part of that process, and the hydrogen is dissociated. And when the two hydrogens come together, they make heat in the presence of oxygen. So that's the way we heat our body, and we make water inside of our body as well.
Wow, that's exciting. Now, people said that, you can go, a long time without eating,
Right.
but you can't go more than 3 days or something without water. Is there a
Yeah.
way of making water in our body so we can last longer than that?
Well, by the way, there are people, and I think we all know people that don't drink a lot of water. Maybe they drink some liquids or whatever, but and sometimes the liquids they drink are dehydrating because
Yeah,
they,
coffee.
right? That's one. Beer's another. But nonetheless, but as long as we eat, then there's a thought these days, and I think it's probably going to end up being true, that what we're going to find out is that what the process of eating outside of the pleasure involved in it, right? There's obviously that sense, the taste and the smell and the chemicals that get released that give us this, euphoria or whatever. But that it's likely the case that we eat to extract water, and that all the rest is just thrown away, and that in fact, what we really live on is electricity. And where do we get that electricity? From breathing. That
Yeah.
there is electricity in the environment. And so, of course, after 4 minutes of not breathing, we're in big trouble, right?
Right.
And so, in that pecking order of, being alive, eating's pretty far down the list. Water's pretty important, but breathing is critical, as the old saying goes. So maybe it's as it says in the first verse of Genesis that we are from fire and water, effectively, that's what happens. So the fire would be the electricity that we breathe in, and that animates the water in our body, and that actually we're capable of creating a lot of the patterns, if you will. Okay, because remember, we talk about molecules, salts and potassium and calcium, but what if these were all just vibratory patterns? Imagine
Yes.
that.
Yes. In fact, one of the companies that I work with, Energy Tools International, has a proprietary way of capturing the frequency of different solid things. So they can take the best diamond in the world. They don't need the diamond, they just need to copy its frequency. So
That's right.
that's what they did actually to create my jewelry and other supplements, is that actually I vibrated the frequency from my hands into a bottle of trace minerals. The trace minerals seem to hold the memory even better. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit. And then they were able to copy the frequency and therefore re-infuse it or radiate it into other things that would hold frequency,
Right.
including
So,
silicon.
including silicon, because remember, silicon is the element in the periodic table, but like hydrogen, you don't usually find it on its own. It's usually bound to oxygen. And so that's why we say the second most common, not element, but really molecule in the Earth's crust is silica, which is what's called silicon dioxide, right? It's a silicon atom with two oxygen atoms attached to it. And that's the form that we get silicon. And by the way, it turns out that the basis for quartz, right, crystal, is silicon, right?
Right.
Quartz crystals are made out of. And we know about, as I mentioned before, Marcel Vogel was inspired. And by the way, some of my thoughts are that that's messages coming to us, that when we're inspired, that that's coming from another place and we're being delivered information, which is a beauty to think of it. But so Marcel was inspired that taking a quartz crystal and forming it, which means cutting it and then polishing it in a particular fashion, which includes one end of the crystal being a pyramid at the exact angle of the Great Pyramid at Giza, which is 51 degrees, 51 seconds, and that the other end of the crystal is at a slightly sharper angle, around 60 degrees, and that combination of dual terminated quartz crystal is able to hold our intention. Our thoughts can be programmed into that. And then Marcel went on to show that if you take a seven-turn coil of pipe and suspend the crystal in the middle of it, and then you cycle liquid through that water, and they also did it with wine, that you can put the intention into the crystal of maturing the wine, and that you can then, after a pass through this, taste the wine again. And after a certain number, you go, that's pretty much just right. I love it. Let's just leave it right there. So you could do the same thing with water. And he showed, because he was an IBM scientist with about 50 patents on storage. That was what his area at IBM was, in storage media. And yeah, he did all types of spectroscopy and so forth that showed that you could, with your thoughts in a crystal, change the structure of water in measurable ways. You could change the different levels of radiation of infrared light out of that water and so forth. And so, yet another example. So when people talk about woo-woo and crystals, let us not forget that we're being bathed by, and we use the word frequency as a shortened version, but really, if we should think of it as a pattern, because we're in three dimensions, so
Right.
it's a pattern. It's a complex, sometimes a complex pattern. If you look at our voice, it turns out to be spherical in nature,
Yes.
right? And that sphere is, of course, differently shaped based on how loud we speak, or the tone, or the different inflections, or how our vocal cords vibrate and so forth. So we're being bathed by all of these, we could say frequencies, but these patterns from the cosmos. And we think of our think of us, if we're all water, including stones or crystals, we are resonators. And so when a crystal encounters all that it's in its environment, including what's being bathed through us radiantly, and you take that crystal, it's got its own vibratory pattern, which can be used therapeutically on our bodies. And there's, as you're well aware, many people out there that use crystals extensively as a healing modality, and it's absolutely valid. And so imagine taking a crystal and putting it into water. You're going to put that pattern.
Yeah, I back in the day, boy, this is a long time ago, but I had bought these stones, various different stones, including rose quartz, clear quartz, amethyst, like different things, and I would put my water on them, in
Absolutely.
the glass, and it had to be glass, so maybe we can talk about why glass, and not plastic or steel.
Right.
And then I would drink the water the next day. Well, I after breaking two carafes, I was
Right.
like, okay, this is not working for me. Right. And then now we have different other ways of doing that. So can you talk a little bit about the structure of water and like why some people say, oh, you should use glass if you're going to have, for example, a water bottle, or is it okay to use steel, or why not use steel, or what about like if you, for example, in the Aquine Springs, if you use plastic, is there like any sort of leaching of the plastic or the frequency of plastic imparted into the water? So these are some of the questions people have.
Yeah, there is. I think all of that is operative. So, as I said before, everything water comes into contact with, matters. And so, for example, if you have a plastic container, that whatever that pattern of that container is imparted in the water. Right. And so if it's glass, then you're getting, well, remember, glass is made from sand, which is silica.
Silica,
And
yeah.
it's related structurally to water. They have the same hexagonal structure. And so that's one of the reasons, by the way, why this quartz crystal, programmed with intention or an outcome, can speak pretty clearly. The water and quartz speak the same language, right? And so it's a more conducive pathway, or maybe a cleaner pathway, if you will. So anything that you put water in is going to affect it. So if you put it into a steel canteen, that's probably going to have an impact on it. And any other vessel, like if you put it in a clay pot, for example, and it depends on what color the pot is. And it depends on what kind of patterns are on the pot and so forth. Again, I always want to bring people back to the idea that all of our senses, every single one of them, are vibratory in nature. Sight, hearing, touch, taste,
Right.
smell, they're all vibratory, period. So it makes sense that when we look at a picture or we look at nature, I'm sure it's becoming spring where you're at, and you go outside and you're just like, you're getting vibrated by the environment. And it's all about those colors vibrate at a certain frequency.
Right. That's why it's so
And
healing to
a
be
hundred
out in
percent.
nature as opposed to, inside a home or an office.
Yes. And that's the basis, by the way, for, feng shui. Why do people do why do they come and rearrange your room and put certain things in the room? Because it changes the pattern of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into some people's houses. I've been into people's houses before where I'm like, oh, this place feels wonderful. And then I've been in other places where I'm like, what would happen if I just turned around and ran out with everybody? Because you get, like the whole haunted house effect,
Right.
right?
Oh my
Like,
goodness.
and that's the basis. I'm not deeply involved in this, but it starts to make sense how you could have the pattern. Like, for example, if something bad happened at a house, and that's why people have it cleared. And that's what I said before, there's a way to demagnetize water. If you take water that's been infused with trauma or whatever, and you put it into an electric, what's called a bulk magnetic eraser, it cleans it up.
Bulk? What's it called?
It's called a bulk magnetic eraser. Yeah, back in the days when we recorded music on tape, analog
Right,
tape,
right.
if you once you put something onto the tape, if you wanted to erase it, right, and be able to record back over it, then there's something called a bulk eraser,
That's
and you can
right.
and water at the end of the day is, as Jacques Benveniste said, is a liquid tape recorder. That's exactly what it is, right?
So if people go, well, if I can take tap water and infuse it,
Yeah.
aside from it perhaps having had homeopathic frequencies of glyphosate and whatever else,
Right. Right.
pills and ever else,
Sure.
what's the difference between, getting a Queen Springs water or Fiji water or
Yeah.
whatever, swirling my own water into Mayu carafe? Like what's the difference? Like,
And this is speculation on my part. I think if we go back to Victor Schauberger, right? He was a a German, I think Austrian, actually. No, I take that back. German. He did some work in Austria. And he was in what they referred to as a naturalist, right? And his attitude was study nature and copy it, right? So he would look at nature and say, you know, why are spring waters so special? Why does water, you know, meander and so forth? And ask these types of questions. Why does water act in strange ways in the morning with dew and so forth? And he had the idea that I think's been lost, that you could take what he called dead water. We could just call it water that's been traumatized, as we talked about. I believe, and he said that, and he had a machine called a vitalizer, and
Was that the swirly thing with the
it had some swirls in it, and the swirls are important, right? This
magnets?
implosive activity, right? But that there were other materials in there which he never disclosed, right? Which were had the ability to alter the water. So maybe there was some demagnetization going on, and then a catalyst. He talked about a catalyst that was involved. And I personally think that we're on the precipice of being able to clean up our water at home. And I think we have to be honest. It environmentally, it doesn't make sense to move water from Idaho to other places in the country. I'll just be clear about that. Or from Fiji to here, or, you know, from France to here. And I'm not being judgmental, but I don't know that we can sustain that forever. So we really need to look back locally. And one of the ways to do that, I think, is to put some more effort into finding out how to take out the patterns that are in our water, and then, and this is the exciting part, to be able to infuse that now water that is clear with whatever it is that we want to put into that, right? Unfortunately, there's a two-edged sword here, and you have kind of touched on it before, that we have to be a little careful because our thoughts are powerful. And like everything else in the world, it can be used for good or maybe for not so good, right? So we have to
Well, I
protect
wonder,
ourselves.
maybe we have higher help, if you will.
I agree.
So our intention, I think that it's not like a one-to-one thing. If we are in general, doing our own spiritual growth,
Yeah.
connecting our consciousness, working towards that love and gratitude, and yeah, perhaps we have a bad day. We're feeling, in our case, as sensitive souls, we're feeling mass consciousness or something, right? So it's not even our stuff, but yet we feel the negative emotions of mass
100%.
consciousness. Then, perhaps if we have the higher help knows, well, she's having a reaction, but the general frequency is high most of the time. I don't think necessarily the water's gonna go, just because you walk by it and you just swore or something,
I agree with you. Now, and I'm sure you and your listeners are aware of this, but the common wisdom is that every great thought, every beautiful, loving thought counteracts 10 negative thoughts.
Well,
So.
so we have heard, and I'm like, well, serves me to believe something like that, so I'm good.
Well, otherwise we'd be overwhelmed, I think, right?
Yeah. Well,
So
and the
there's.
other thing too is, there's some other thoughts of that, the this whole way we grow up with that polarity of, good, bad, positive, negative, that there is actually more of an interplay, like the yin yang symbol,
Very
than
much
there
so.
is like this division, like good
Yes.
and bad. So
Right.
that I think even if there is a dark thought or something like that, it can come around and show us something that then reveals the lighter whatever, like it can
Course.
reveal what's remaining in us that may not serve us based on what we say we desire to manifest. And so we can hate the dark, but that's not helpful. Instead, why don't we use those dark moments And I'm reading this book called Learning to Walk in the Dark, where she's, kind
Yeah.
of arguing for that, like just kind of like be in whatever, like just be.
Yeah. Well,
Not.
it's like I said before, a negative thought comes in and I just go, "Hey, where'd you come from?"
Yeah, that curiosity.
Yeah, have
Yeah,
that
that curiosity
conversation,
is.
right? That, as you say, that observation, right? To not think, "Oh,
Take it
I'm
personally.
terrible for having that thought." It's just
Right.
like, "Huh, let's use this as a learning experience." And then to be able to, and everybody says this, and I think it's right, to make a choice, right? That's what free will is. That's what I tell my kids. It's like, it's a new day. You get to choose how that day is going to
That is great.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up, I know there's so I could probably be on here for 2 more hours talking to you.
Okay.
To follow up my other thought about I heard that putting water in a metal stainless steel water bottle destructures it. I don't know if that's actually true because I've never done the experiment. Curious whether you've heard of that science-wise, and whether or not that is, something we can, based on belief or positive thoughts, maybe some tools that we can counteract that if that actually happens.
Well, so there's this that term structured water, and that we could come back and have a whole discussion about that. I would like to call him my mentor, a wonderful water researcher, maybe one of the most renowned, a guy called Gerald Pollack at the
Yes, I
University
was
of
going to mention him too.
Very dear friend of mine. In fact, he was at this
Oh,
hydration.
really? Oh, cool.
He's a very dear friend, and he was at the hydration summit and so forth. And of course, his contention, and I think he's right, is that the water that we have in our body is not like the water that we drink, so to speak, that it goes through a phase transition and becomes structured water and of a particular type. So, when we're into that area of what people talk about as structured water, there's not a lot of agreement. In fact, I think there's a lot of different structures to water. But one of
Okay.
which that Gerald Pollack talks about is this so-called EZ water, which he believes that our body, our cells and tissues are full of. And again, I think he's right about that. And it's more of a in a sort of a gel form,
Well.
right? Which is why when you puncture yourself, you might bleed, but you don't spew water, right? And that what happens is that that water, that's so-called structured water, EZ water, they call it, exclusion zone water, which is water that changes its structure around surfaces. So around DNA, around proteins, around tissues, in our fascia and so forth, that it becomes, this universal substance that not only has consciousness and allows for our body to conduct electricity and to be able to communicate through our neurons and so forth. But so that's one type of structure. And then you've got people that are taking devices of different varieties, including the Schauberger type devices that vortex water one way or another. Victor talked about implosion, which is spiraling water in so that it concentrates it, what's called, as opposed to, it's called centripetal activity, which is a vortexing or spiraling in, concentrating,
Ah, right.
versus centrifugal, which is
Going
expanding,
right.
right? And so people think about water being structured by vortexers. There are all sorts of devices that have magnets inside of them, and some that have electric coils around them and so forth. That and I think that that does have an impact on water. It's just not clear what it is. Okay. So, for example, I was just talking to someone last night who was talking about oh, structured water. And I said, "Well, how do you know it's structured?" They said, "Well, you put it on plants and it makes, the plants grow better." It's like, yeah, okay, I've seen those studies. There's a lot of them. But what does that mean? Right? It means that we can measure that the plants are growing and maybe bigger tomatoes, or taller, more corn on stalk or whatever. And all of those things are valid. But does that really mean that it's structured? And so there's still a lot of work to be done, in terms of characterizing what exactly it means for water to have structure.
Okay,
So,
because most people casually talk
yes.
about the the Emoto, the flat water, no pretty, snowflake frozen, like the I hate you water versus the I love you water looks vastly different. And I know there's a lot of detractors as well that say it's bogus, blah blah blah, right? So so that's what they mean by structured water, to create this even hexagonal type water. Like there's some machines, like my friend has a Kangen machine. I don't have that. And it's very old, right? And it makes this hexagonal water, which is supposedly have health benefits. And I hear what you're saying is that the structured water within us is not the same as what we commonly talk about the structured water out here. I do think there are benefits of having water that has gone through a stream, gone through, vortexing, been put over gems, all that kind of stuff. It tastes different, it feels different. So we have the results of that. But the internal stuff, I'm so glad you mentioned Gerald. I wasn't gonna go down that road, but you mentioned him. So so I gotta tell you this. I didn't warn you I was gonna tell you this. So I talked to Gerald a while back in the podcast a few years ago. And I said, okay, this is, I'm going to tell you what we're observing in some of our very sensitive souls, especially those that have had, let's just say, experiences as a light being, but now are incarnated as a human. They go, when we have, oh, I some people call it astrological, but I call them ascension upgrades. So they're the frequency of the planet goes like this. We tend to collect more EZ water. And it's when I ask source directly, what is going on and why are people swelling? It's not the kind of, I'm a medical doctor, so I know pathological swelling, what that looks like.
Sure.
Bipedal edema, congestive heart failure, like vascular vasculitis. I know what that kind of swelling is like. This is not that. This is completely different. And it's across the board, so many light being star seeds, went through or are going through this swelling stage. When I ask God what it is, easy water, right? I read Gerald's book and I was like, okay, so I'm asking Gerald right on the show live. Of course, he doesn't know I'm going to ask. I said, okay, so what is this with, sensitive souls and, they're collecting, I'm getting that they're collecting more easy water and I'm getting that, their source codes coming in and the water is holding those source codes, if you will, until it can be processed. Well, I think I threw him for a loop because he's like, I really don't know. I was just okay. That's okay. That's okay. I was just like asking in case you thought about it. Like what that was.
Agreed.
So, yeah, curious your thoughts.
I think that's one of the most humbling things about Jerry is that when he doesn't know, he doesn't just make something up. He says, "Well, yeah, I haven't really thought about that." That's the sort of stuff we talk about a lot. And it's like, sometimes we come to the conclusion, well, it's hard to know. But my thought is, and we'll go back to what I said before, and I just kind of want to keep coaxing people into the idea that if we are all water in a different form, and by the way, I'm even talking about other things like steel, for example. Imagine that steel is water in a different state, right? And so think of all of everything around us then as becoming a transducer, right? And so we transduct that which is flowing through us all and makes us vibrate in different ways. And so it makes some sense that if we are ascending, or some of us hopefully are, I hope there are people out there that are ascending trying to save us all, that water in their body is becoming more structured. It's got more information in it. It's got a different structure. And as a result of that, can transduce, I would say, in my terms, divine love in a more acute fashion, maybe at a different level. And that we see physiologically what you observe. That is just a speculation, but
Yeah,
it's
thank you.
really true.
I appreciate your speculation. Yeah, sometimes I get certain guidance messages, and then I, being the MD
I think
science-based
you're right.
person, I'm like, prove it.
Yeah, I think your observation's right, and I think we will prove it, to be honest. I think
No, I say
I
the source prove it, but no, I had gained, like, I was like 120 pounds. I gained, I don't know, a lot. So I was like 145, and I said to my massage therapist, I don't know why I'm so fat. And they were like, you know, we feel a lot of bodies, and yours doesn't feel fat, but it's poofy. It's
Okay.
poofy. And medical term, right? Poofy. So I was like at a loss. And then I got so much, like, I felt like the Michelin man. Do you remember the Michelin man?
Of
Right?
course.
I was like almost gonna tear my winter coat, my down coat. And I thought, okay, this is ridiculous. Okay, I gotta sit down with source and go, what the heck is going on? Because I'm not changing anything I'm eating, like the normal thing that people, am I eating different? Am I exercising? Like, blah, 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 blah. So I knew it wasn't that. Source says, long story short, it's water. But I'm like, but why? Right? So that got me down into this path of easy water and
Yeah.
discovering everything like that. And I gotta tell you this really funny story. It's public, so you could certainly share it. At one point, I found out that there was a blueprint, an energy blueprint of me from another timeline where I was 7 foot tall, 240 pounds,
Right.
with a 50 something inch waist, right? Well, it's the my body was trying to make me into that tall alien being. It had the information for it, had the blueprint for it. So then I'm like, whoa, 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 I'm going this way. Okay, I can't go this way very easily. So I swapped out that blueprint. I said, well, here's the human one in this for this timeline, and make that the dominant blueprint. And within 2 days, I went back to my massage therapist back to back, and they're like, what happened?
Yep.
They said, your tissues feel completely different. They're more pliable, your lymph is flowing. And then I lost, I 15 pounds.
Yeah.
From this
Absolutely.
incredible, I mean, other things, but it was just fascinating. So I thought I'd tell you that funny story because you may not hear it from other weird people.
Oh, I believe it 100%. In fact, just to stretch that a little bit, so to speak,
Sure.
I think that there is some evidence to suggest that we are a projection from a blueprint at any given moment.
Like the virtual reality thing.
That opens up a really interesting idea, and
Yeah.
that is, what if you could change your state, right? You did it. What if you could change your state by looking at a picture of yourself from a different time? And what if you could encode that picture into water?
Well,
What if you could?
it's so funny. We were the people that are watching this in like in 2024, we just literally did a timeline jumping exercise. And that's exactly what we did. We were resonating the body, the healed body version of
Percent.
ourselves. It's fascinating.
It's the same mechanism. And if I should be so bold, I'm not really a futurist, but I think we will get there, and I think we're going to get there really quickly. I think we'll be doing this in 10 years.
Wow, yeah, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Crazy stuff.
So let's we'll wrap up a little bit. I hear that we have a discount code for people to try the
Yes.
water.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to try the water out, you can at checkout put in the code Light Warrior number 10, all pushed together in the promo code section, and that'll get you 10% off on your first order. And if you're so inclined to do so, please give it a try. And the only thing I would ask people is that, when they drink the water, that if they have good thoughts, and that if you feel brave enough, and I very much encourage you to do so, to articulate those thoughts or intentions, whether it be for, like in my case, and I'll just tell people honestly from my heart, what I do every day, multiple times during the day, is I ask the higher source, the creator, I call them, to fill me with divine love for everything and everyone around me. And then I drink that intention, and I can feel it. And I hope other people have that same experience.
That's beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Michael. So aquinesprings.com, and the discount code is LightWarrior10. Let me just spell that again. It's AQUENE Springs.com. And then at checkout, put in LightWarrior10 for 10% off your first order to check out this water from Idaho. I'm really excited to get mine in a few days. Michael, thank you so much for that gift. It's been
Yeah.
wonderful chatting with you and learning more about water. And I appreciate you entertaining all of my crazy ideas.
Oh, they're not crazy. You're on the right path, I promise you. So.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we also want to thank all of our Light Medicine and Light Warrior community for tuning in. And until next time, much love, everyone. Thank you, Michael.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
everyone.
Blessings to all.